took it all away.
Remember a few weeks ago they said that Chrissy Noem would be out. Everybody went, oh, no, 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 no. And I said, no, that's how Trump does it. He floats it first. Well, she's out. As the head of DHS, Trump says, I'm pleased to announce that the highly respected United States Senator from the great state of Oklahoma, Mark Wayne Mullen, will become the United States Secretary of Homeland Security. She'll be sent now to head up another organization. I'll get to more of that later. But right now, let's get more of your calls in. Nick in Oklahoma, Army on the Iran war. Thanks for holding.
Well, I got a quick question for you. So how many of our senators and congressmen have the dual citizenship with Israel?
I forget the number, but I think it's like got to be like 50 or something in the House.
Right. So they've already penetrated it at that level. So this war was already premeditated in some senses, right? And every act to get here has been premeditated.
Yeah, they've been training the Kurds for the invasion for years.
Yep. So, with all of this going on in the war, why didn't they do this under Biden?
That's a good question. Why do you think?
I don't know. But I know with the war now that what they'll do is it'll be drones. I can't see them putting anybody on the ground besides, like you said, the special forces and everybody that's specifically designed for it. But I don't know, man. It's a crazy world.
Well, I think this is going to last years if it doesn't get shut down.
But if this is our forever war, what does it keep us out of? Are we going to go to war with China after this or with Russia while fighting Iran? Imagine if it was Fallujah every step of the way. You know?
Well, those the gods would destroy, they first make mad. And it's confirmed, and the Pentagon leaked the first leak against Trump, telling him not to do this. So even those generals, you know, that are establishment said, this is too dangerous. There's too many murky scenarios. And Trump, you know, talked to Israel. He said it. I talked to Israel and Saudi Arabia, and they said it was the right thing to do. Well, you didn't talk to your constituents, did you, Trump? And he said today, everyone's loving the war, while his surrogates say it isn't a war. It's very insulting to our intelligence.
But it's their point of view of it, which sucks. But it's all how many steps have we already taken to get here that could have been stopped. But instead, we just kind of slowly walked into it, seen every step, all the way back to Obama. If Hillary won this, imagine a war with her. Going to Iran.
Well, she'd have done it even quicker. Thanks for the call. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. I don't want to hear the Democrats, oh, you're discredited, you supported Trump, now he's bad. I'm proud I backed Trump. We've gotten so much good done. It's been revolutionary. The system did hate him, but he's been brainwashed and co-opted at this point. Lee in Kansas. Lee, you're on the air. Go ahead. Marine on nuke guard. Go ahead. Lee in Kansas. Yep, get those buttons in there. Go ahead, Lee.
You there?
Yeah, they just didn't hear me talking to him. Go ahead.
Oh, I see. All right, well, thank you for taking my call. I want to give you a little insight on what's going on with this war in Iran. Iran was about to fall into a civil war because of their financial and the fact that they're out of water throughout the entirety of the country. So we needed to take out their nuclear ambitions and their tunnels and their delivery systems, like their ballistic missiles. That's what started all this. Apparently, either the Trump administration or the Israelis could see that their weapons that were not buried in Midnight Hammer last year were going to be susceptible to be taken by a faction of the civil war that was developing in Iran. So we need to take those out, and now we're in a full-scale war with it. The people who created this entire situation is that Ayatollah Khomeini and his IRGC.
Hold on, don't hang up. Don't hang up. You've held so long. 1 minute break. I'm going to come right back to you, Lee in Kansas. Stay there. I want to hear your take. Then Syrian Girl's on with us. We'll also take calls with her. Then I'll take nothing but calls in the fourth hour. We'll be right back.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I don't want to hear anybody say there's a slow news day ever or that they're bored. The world is incredibly dynamic. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But we have been sleptwalked into a full war with Iran. They've sent communists / Al-Qaeda Kurds in out of Iraq. Trump is saying everybody loves the war and Cuba's next. I think Trump is on a little bit of a power trip here. And this is a nightmare scenario. I was taking calls. I want to finish up with one before we go to Syrian girl who ride shotgun with us. And then I'll continue with calls into the fourth hour. Lee, we're making some great points. Start back over. You got cut off on the break. Go ahead.
All right. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Start back over. Go ahead.
All right. So the Iranians, the Ayatollah Khomeini and his IRGC put Iran in the situation they're in today. Their currency was worthless. Their out of water throughout all of Tehran and most of the country. It was about to dissolve into a civil war. Apparently, that information came out, and it was decided that the nuclear weapons that Iran and all their fissible material needed to be taken away from anyone's possession. That was the whole reason between Operation Midnight Hammer, that where we bombed the three sites was to sink in all the tunnels. Now, they still apparently must have had a couple of them that were not caught up in that operation. That's why we're bombing them now. But seriously, you've got anywhere from 10 million to 14 million people out of water throughout the area around Tehran. And when they started protesting, you know, it's being reported here that it's over currency. Overseas, it's being reported about the drought. The regime started mowing down their people in mass by the tens of thousands. The last number I heard was 30,000.
I've seen all the war propaganda, but I'm sure they did kill some people. The point is, and we know about the drought, too. The point is that the West overthrew Mossadegh in 53. Then they used the radical Islamists to, you know, put in and double-cross it and put the Shah in. And then the CIA helped bring in the Ayatollah. And so Israel and the West want destabilized bad leadership, just like Israel founded Hamas. And admitted they do, and Netanyahu doubled their money right up until October 7th, that he stood down, and now they put Al-Qaeda in charge of Syria. I appreciate your call. They want destabilization. So this idea that, oh, we're going in there, it's an emergency and all this is about dominance and control of the center of the chessboard. And Israel wants a greater Israel, and Israel is the main motive and the main system. The engine, the circus master, the ringleader that controls Congress to a great extent to exercise the will. But there are the defense contractors and others that also want control. So this is 100% vindication for everybody that warned of this. And this is a betrayal by Trump. And notice they say, oh, Israel made us do it. Oh, no, Israel didn't make us do it. Okay, Israel did make us do it, but that's a good thing. And then Trump also comes out and says, you know, I've got to end this cabinet meeting. I've got to go run this war. But then his surrogates, if you say this is an undeclared war, they attack and go, oh, you're a liberal traitor. This isn't even a war. I mean, it's just mind control. And then you have the Democrats, who are absolutely evil, just rejoicing in all of this. And then this has the real potential to derail the entire administration and the good things that have happened, like killing the carbon tax that if implemented would have killed 2 billion people in the big studies that have been done within 10 years. So I needed Trump to succeed. I want him to succeed, but I will not sit here and join in on the gaslighting about this. Okay? Will not do it. And this is a disaster in the poll numbers everywhere. I mean, the horrible Trump in the same day. No, I gave the order. Actually, Israel gave the order. Marco Rubio. Yeah, Israel struck, so we had to. No, that's not what it was, but they did. And okay, it's about regime change. No, it's about WMDs. I mean, this is terrible. And then now boots on the ground. Took them 15 years to take down Assad. And I'm telling you, we're at war with Iran. Hot war now. And the establishment, like Trump said 2 days ago, this may last forever. So they're committing us to a war with a population much bigger than Syria, Iraq, surrounded by mountains. They're sending in these communist groups and these al-Qaeda groups that the Iranians absolutely hate. And the sociologists have said will unify the Iranians against them. And remember, the U.S. funded the Iran-Iraq war for 7-8 years, killed millions of people. And so that's where we are. The Strait of Hormuz is closed. Trump said he guarantees it's reopened. He told ships to go through. They won't. So this is unraveling very, very quickly. And I've talked to The Economist. If this inflation continues for even a few months, it derails the numbers for Trump's recovery to work. So Israel's had the plan for, and the neocons for decades, the clean break since 96, rebuilding America's defenses, PNAC, April 2000. To take 7 countries, and the final one is Iran. But notice, now that the final country to take down, they want to do it in 6 years in the Project for American Century, and in Clean Break, that then became, you know, classified documents. After the fact, Israel puts out its policy report, and then becomes, you know, the battle plan, then becomes classified. And then Wesley Clark talks about the classified version. Notice that. Now, I've been saying this for months. I said, once they take down Iran, if they're successful, I said, I don't think they will be quickly. And if we even win it, it'll be a Pyrrhic victory. We do all this, and then it enrages the world and bankrupts us more, and then does it for groups that are basically working against us, parasitic. I said, who will they say they want to attack next? And I said, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, hell, Jordan's been an ally of Israel. Well, Obama under the Arab Spring freaking attacked Egypt. And I mean, so I said, they might just go after Jordan. Maybe Kuwait. I mean, there's no loyalty here. And now you have the Israelis saying all over the news, oh, Turkey's the new enemy. And then Saudi Arabia might not be trustworthy either, said Bennett, the former prime minister. So if you think it's just Netanyahu you got to worry about, you're wrong. The Israeli leadership runs from megalomaniacs to psychotic megalomaniacs, and they are emboldened by their successes, just like Trump is with Venezuela. And so this is bad, 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 folks. Absolutely terrible. I want to go to Syrian Girl, then back to calls. Syrian Girl, it's great to have you here with us. Again, your family was part of the ruling party there, got kicked out by Assad. You're no fan of them, but you've described and broken down. You're a scientist, live in Australia, also been a journalist, partisan girl. On X, on YouTube, and more. It's great to have you. I wish we were, you know, speaking over, you know, peaceful developments here, but why don't you give us your assessment of what we're facing right now?
Yes, Alex, thank you so much for having me once again. Always a pleasure to be here. I have to say Max Blumenthal is a bit of a tough act to follow, but I hope I can add to the conversation. You had I suppose a few things I could add already. You had a listener that came in here that said, you know, Iran was running out of water, and therefore, you know, there was a revolution, and therefore the U.S. decided to go in and get the nukes. Just for anyone who's listening, this is a complete reversal of what actually happened. The U.S. Actually recently bombed the desalination plant of Iran, you know, that means it's a factory or, you know, infrastructure that cleans the water. And that now has been bombed. So it's exacerbated the water crisis. There was an attempted CIA regime change operation which failed. And as a result of that, That's why they've decided to go into war. This, you know, you've heard about these invisible tens of thousands of people that were supposedly killed during the regime change operation. We've never seen images like we did in Gaza to suggest that. But nevertheless, we're supposed to take that as face value, as a causes belli for this war.
Yeah, that, I mean, that last fellow sounded like he was reading off a script.
I'm afraid so. And I mean, just in case anyone, I know, Alex, you're not fooled, but I just in case anyone in the listeners might, you know, carry on that notion that, oh, we had to go in because, you know, then the nukes would fall into the wrong hands. No, the CIA was the one that was pushing for the regime change. So it wouldn't have been the wrong hands. And what nukes exactly? I mean, there was a fatwa issued by the guy that was killed, Khamenei, against getting nuclear weapons.
Yeah, but
weapons.
You noticed that after he was dead, the council member said, well, we can put one together in a week. So regardless, I think the country's allowed to have nukes, so it doesn't matter. I mean, under this rule, you can attack whoever you want. What do you make of Trump? Well, they were going to attack us in a couple of days. We had to attack them. I mean, just, sorry, keep going.
No, please continue.
No, it's just, I mean, this floundering, just dozens of different stories every hour changing it. Why we're there? What's going on? I mean, this is like designed to destroy the midterms.
You know, I think that, honestly, I don't see that it's necessarily entirely in Trump's hands. I know he's the president, but how much power does the president really have? I mean, the Secretary of State can equally have a lot of power when it comes to foreign policy. And I feel strongly that whoever was the president, whether it be Biden or Clinton, this was going to happen. I mean, you know, General Wesley Clark said 7 countries in 5 years. It's been more than 5 years. And I also wanted to agree with what you told Max. I think this war is going to last for, you know, you said, Max said months. I think I agree with you, Alex. It could even be years. And what I wanted to, you know, elaborate on a little bit is some of the economic effects that this is going to have, because it's going to be a lot more intense than COVID was when it comes to the economy, the cost of living, and the hyperinflation. If I may get into that, or if you wanted to discuss something else, I'm happy to do so.
Oh, absolutely. Just the energy cost increase from the Strait of Hormuz right now is already pushing it up, and the world was already having big inflation problems. That's what I've warned of in the last year. If Trump got in this, they'd close the Strait. And then just a few months of this, if you do the math, it will kill the math for his recovery.
In fact, it might even be worse than that, because, you know, a lot of the world's oil comes from that location. Now, the Chinese ships are allowed to come out of there. But, you know, oil isn't just what you put in your car. There's jet fuel, so aircrafts are going to be affected. There's plastics, so that product is going to be affected. And when it comes to jet fuel being affected, that means the transportation of products is going to be affected, not just with shipping, but with flight, which means that medication is going to become more expensive. Your Amazon packages are going to become more expensive. Food is going to become more expensive. Here in Australia, we have 30 days of fuel left. That's what the government's announced. So it's going to get interesting because this thing didn't go longer than 30 days. I also wanted to say, you guys discussed whether or not, how do we get out of this thing? I wanted to touch on that as well. I don't want to go all over the place, though. Maybe we can focus on the economy first and then move on to that.
Well, I mean, the economy is important, but people don't even think 2 weeks ahead. I am concerned just in general about what's happened to Trump's brain, that he ran on not going to full war with Iran regime change. Now they're doing it. They admit the Pentagon plan is regime change. He said it on TV a bunch. And then, quote, he's running a war. But then his surrogates say that's insane. It's a Democrat talking point when he just said it. What do you think is happening to Trump? Because I know he's actually a good man. He means well. But this is a disaster.
Honestly, I've been reading some reports. I'll try to pull them up for you. That they told him that this thing was going to be 48 hours. And that's it. So, you know, he probably thought it was going to be something similar along the lines of what happened during the 12-day war, where he did one strike and then called it a day. And they convinced him to kill Khamenei, just like they convinced him to kill Soleimani, and then allowed him to bear the weight of the consequences, having told him that this thing is only going to be 48 hours. They also told him that, you know, there's going to be ways to escalate and de-escalate, and there's going to be off-ramps. But essentially what they've done is they've killed the Pope of Shia Islam. This is what Khamenei was. You know, he wasn't the president of Iran. You know, if anyone's like listening and they think this guy was like the leader, like the President Assad or Saddam Hussein.
No, this is like the ultimate martyrdom.
Yes. So essentially he wasn't the president, he wasn't the prime minister, he wasn't the foreign minister, he was the Pope, not just of Iranians, but of all Shia Muslims around the world. So when Trump says he wants to choose the new guy, he's essentially saying, I want to choose who your Pope's going to be. And now I'm calling him the Pope, but it's the Ayatollah. He has to be a direct descendant of the family of the Prophet Muhammad. So it's like it's a very selective position that comes from a religious basis.
He's like Muhammad on earth, and that exactly. And Eric Prince said a week before this happened, he said it again, he said, listen, make a deal, create like a Vatican City, and let the Shiites have their headquarters, like Mecca, be there, or the Shiites will fight forever, which he was right, and told Trump, don't do this. Of course, Trump didn't listen. So now it's a little late. Not only do we not build them a Vatican City and kick them, and then, you know, like we send Napoleon to the island, because that makes them not have to have a huge war. Instead, they blow the Pope up, which is now unified the people to a greater extent.
Correct. And the thing is that now there's no off-ramp. It's not like they, you know, they didn't just kill the president. They killed the religious leader. And what I found interesting is some of the American commanders, apparently across a lot of different military outfits, they're telling them this is Armageddon, it's a religious war, and we're starting a religious war. And it just so happens to be juxtapositioned at the similar time of a blood moon and Purim, which is a Jewish religious holiday that marks the death of 75,000 Persians, and it was in the Book of Esther. So, you know, the people who are doing this aren't doing this for economic reasons. They're doing this because of their fervent religious belief. And that's what makes it scary. You know, it's not like there's a rational actor behind the scenes. They call Iran religious and irrational, but the guys that are in charge are equally so, and not necessarily out of Christian belief either.
I think what the mullahs believe, and then their third imam and all that, and then they've got to push the end of the world themselves. Then you have, this is confirmed, Pentagon with top brass in there being taught, we're going to force the Antichrist, we're going to force the Battle of Armageddon, and you have Pastor Hagee, one of the top Zionist preachers, over the weekend saying, now Mog and Gamog, or whatever they're calling, are going to attack, and the Lord will come back. Well, if you read the Bible, you have the Antichrist first, and then this happens later. He's like, no. Gog and Magog are attacking. We are forcing Jesus to come. And it's just total cuckoo town.
Well, do you know who also wanted to bring about the end of the world and have Jesus return at Damascus? It was ISIS. ISIS had this idea that if they were to attack 90 countries or whatever, I don't remember how many it was, that it will trigger the end of the world and the return of the Messiah. Like, so there is a bunch of people who are trying to make these prophecies happen by force. And it's, you know, it's ISIS, it's
Israel, and the third temple, exactly. And the red heifer.
You read my mind. It's the Temple Institute in Israel. They're gunning for the end of the war. So when they say it's Armageddon, I'm looking around, and it, to me, it looks like Armageddon, because I know it's just Iran on fighting the U.S. by itself so far, but there's also war going on in Ukraine and Russia, and China might eventually kick off as well. But Iran alone is doing a lot of damage to the U.S. military in the region. You know, people will be upset by that, but the evidence is clear. They've blinded the U.S. Yes, they're taking a lot of damage. Their civilians are taking a lot of damage. They killed 150 schoolgirls. But the prestige and the power projection of the U.S. in the Middle East has been damaged by this. And so, again, I say that the people who are doing this are not rational actors. They're not doing it for economic reasons. They're not doing it to boost the U.S.'s power in the region. And that is, it's scary. It's scary because it means that what else would they be prepared to do? And I wouldn't be surprised if they launched a nuclear weapon, to be honest, if they haven't already used nuclear bunker busters.
Well, I'm worried about Israel or some other group detonating a nuke and blaming Iran or something. I'm worried about false flags.
You know, apparently the Cyprus, there was an attack on Cyprus, and I think the UK claimed that that wasn't Iran. They claimed that maybe it came out of Lebanon, but we'll see. This is a fog of war situation. Like, anyone can attack anyone, bring in anyone, make this bigger. So
did you know the top rabbi, one of the top rabbis in Israel, is advising to blow up the Temple Mount and blame Iran for it so they can now build their third temple? And, like, he's on Israeli TV saying that. So now when they blow it up, they're going to get blamed. It's this weird thing about bragging about what they're going to do before they do it.
It's funny, actually. The CIA recently bragged, as you know, you and Max talked about, that they're going to use the Kurds in Iraq as an army against Iran. And again, he said that this is just a ruse. They're going to send in boots on the ground. It's going to be like the Iraq War. You know, there's going to be tens of thousands of American soldiers being sent home in body bags. But they're going to claim it's the Kurds at first as like a way to soften the blow of people into it. But yeah, the guy that says that he wants to blow up the mosque in Jerusalem, this is a very revered mosque because it's said that the angel Gabriel. Look, I'm not the best when it comes to religion. I'm going to admit that right now.
I think they say Jesus ascended from there.
You know what? Your info is as good as mine in that respect.
I'm going from memory. I haven't read the Quran in a while. But no, look it up.
to be honest, nor have I. But the point is that they are, that would trigger a lot of the Muslims of the world. But that's why I don't think they're going to do it. Because right now, if they want the Arab world and the Gulf and the Sunni Islam to hate the Shias, and so it would be inconvenient for them to do the temple thing right now. I reckon if they were going to do it, they would do it once or after they project after Iran's defeat, although that is not a sure thing. You know, this could be Afghanistan. This could be worse, so much worse than that. I think Iran is maybe the strongest country that the U.S. has ever faced. They've never faced Russia directly. Russia has never dared to attack the U.S. directly. China has never dared to attack the U.S. directly. But Iran is currently facing an existential crisis. It's do or die for them now. So they don't really have a choice. And they're putting everything on the line. Like, this is what they call absolute krieg and total war. I know we're going to break, so I'll let you have the last.
Yeah, let's talk about that when we come back. It's I mean, look, the U.S. full proxy war, massive amounts of money, over 2 million dead, Iran-Iraq war. And now we've got special forces marching in with this collection of al-Qaeda and Islamic communists. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at theAlexJonesStore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it, because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigly. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com, because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win, or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue, or our bovine colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones. Correct that will.
Give the master slip. All right, I want to take your phone calls right in the next hour. If Siri Girl wants to ride shotgun, she can stay with us the next hour and a half. Intersperse whatever she wants to say here with her unique, experienced view of the world. But yeah, no, it's now confirmed that Trump at sitcom thought the war with Iran would last only 48 hours. That's what some told him, not the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Now the Zionists on X are saying it's going to go for a long time. They're saying up until September. And here's my deal. I know that Israel has its views and its perspective. So do the Arabs and all the rest of it. And then the Persians. But just on the economic level of this, we can't survive it. They can't. The world's teetering on the edge here. And then I see the arrogance of the former Israeli Prime Minister, Bennett. If I get that clip ready, I've seen him say it like five times now. I found new clips. He said it again yesterday. He said, "Oh, Turkey's the real enemy. And we think we can't trust Saudi Arabia. he didn't say that in this clip. The one I saw last night, he's now attacking Saudi Arabia. I mean, boy, Israel, I guess, gets emboldened by their success and now just thinks they're invincible. And here's my deal. I can think two or three steps ahead. Israel has a whole bunch of nuclear weapons. They have the Samson option. I don't hate them because of who they are. I literally don't. I do not like them endangering all of us in nuclear war in megalomania. So this behavior is insane. For people who don't know, Turkey has the largest conventional military in Europe. And you better believe they got nukes, just like a lot of other people do. Not just Pakistan, folks. Saudi Arabia's got them. Everybody's got them, okay? And I see the wild look in the eyes of Bennett and Netanyahu, and they look like they've been plugged into an electricity socket. They look like they're snorting methamphetamine or something. They really like this. This is fun for them. And this audience of activists, you know, are people, you hear the veterans calling, they're really concerned because they've been around this. We want to just make civilization survive. But to these globalists, they love rolling the dice. And I'll say, Trump looks a little too happy right now. Because even if we were in the right to be doing this, it shouldn't be so jolly. It shouldn't be such a big joke. Pride dove for a fall. So I want to go to some phone calls, intersperse a lot of news here. But Iran war live. Trump says U.S. will have a role in choosing Iran's next leader. Israel orders southern Beirut evacuation. So now you know it's about to start there. Bombing in Lebanon, which has already been happening. So this is unending war. Trump says it may last forever. This is the opposite of what he ran on. I'm between a rock and a hard place because Republican candidates on average are much better domestically and socially and even not wanting war with Russia. So I guess people have to just go out and check each candidate and don't vote a straight ticket. But you're not going to be able to vote for Trump anyways. People say, well, don't vote for Republicans in the midterms. I don't think Trump cares. I don't think the neocons care if the Republicans lose control, because I think the deal's already been made. I mean, I think what I've been holding off saying is watch the Justice Department kill all the investigations into the auto pin, into Arctic Frost, Crossfire Hurricane. Trump allowed those investigations to get the dirt and put the clamps on the deep state, and now they've made a deal to roll over to him and his family once he's out of office. I think that's pretty much a surety now. Because the way they'd bring in good prosecutors to get all the dirt, then remove them, put the bad guys in. And I think that's a real miscalculation by Trump and his family. I think that's about a 99% approximation right there. Because this is Machiavellian thinking. You know, this is what they think is smart. You know, this is how you survive. Well, then I'd have taken the $50 million, Trump, from the richest man in the world at the time, each year to come out and attack you. But I didn't. And then I got everything that came out because I believed you were going to do a better job. So don't try to explain survival to me. But that makes it even more particularly disgusting that I think at this point there's no doubt at least his orbit has taken the money. We know that. That's a lot to unpack there, Sarah. Girl, give us your take on it, and then we'll go to phone calls.
Well, I just don't think we can vote, or we as in the American people. I'm not American, but I don't think you can vote your way out of this. I don't think that democracy is working in the United States as it should. I don't think Trump is necessarily the one behind this. You know, he's going along with plans that have already been set into place, and powerful people are making the decisions. And I'm afraid that there needs to be something else that's done other than just trying to vote, because obviously that's not working. And this is, you know, it's unfortunate that we've come here, because we all knew that we were going to end up here. We tried to stop it. We were informing people, but again, like, what are people supposed to do? We need solutions. I wanted to bring your attention as well to Zelensky. Yes, and you know, you have on screen here. They're already talking about in the U.S. media. They're already talking about sending in boots on the ground. It's been 4 days. I mean, if the air war and the naval ship war is going so great, then why are we already talking about boots on the ground? It doesn't seem like it's going that great. So Zelensky's actually just now announced that he's going to jump in the war, like 2 hours ago, saying that he's going to supply the U.S. with drone warfare technology. I don't know
I missed this. Zelensky is now sticking his nose and bringing Europe directly into this.
Yes. And interestingly, this is like 2 hours ago announced on his X. Interestingly, the Russian foreign minister Lavrov also subsequently announced that they're going to make sure that the U.S. loses in Iran.
Yeah, I saw that headline. He said, we'll do whatever we have to make sure this attack fails.
Yes, but also before that, Zelensky was already making announcements about Iran and about how Ukraine is going to help. And 2 hours ago, he's doubled down.
So let's explain that. Maybe a first in history. The proxy puppet in a whole other theater war is now coming into a whole other proxy conflict. And then, of course, Russia then has to come into that conflict. Even though they have an alliance with Iran, they weren't officially getting in. Now this will force them to.
Well, you know, I think historians may look at the era that we have lived in and maybe they will call it World War III. Because I've been looking at the airplanes and there's so much airspace that they can't go through. They can't go over Iranian airspace, Syrian, Iraqi, Israeli. Now the UAE's shut its airspace down. They can't go over Ukrainian airspace. So it's like, you know, I don't think it's necessarily regional and it may even get bigger, but it's a slow burn. I think what we might end up seeing soon is that the Yemeni Houthis are going to cut off the Gulf of Aden, which will result in even more intense economic, crackdown. And the Iranians are saying,
let's be clear. I totally agree with you. I said back when Trump was president-elect that Putin will announce within 1 week that World War III has begun. You can actually look that up because you have North Korea, China involved with Russia. You have Europe, the U.S. involved. That's a world war when the numbers are up there and you got a million dead. So, yeah, we're officially in a new world war. The CIA called the Cold War World War III. This is the fourth world war. It's already very kinetic. And so, yes, we are inside going from the first phases into the real hot phase of the fourth world war, according to the RAND Corporation and all the AI war models. And that's why the Joint Chiefs of Staff told Trump, this has too many downsides. We advise you against this. But they said, we'll follow your orders, sir. And he did this. Then they got their propaganda in line behind it. But this is extremely dangerous. And a lot of Americans have this reflexive condition thing that we've gotten away with this. And you know, this has happened so many times before. That's a different time, a different place, different country. And this is just so fraught with danger. And it's unpopular at home. It's just an unmitigated disaster. And I just hope that Trump's acting confidently and stuff to get a deal and that he's not actually believing the stuff he's saying. Everybody loves the war. It's so great. Oh, man, you know, we've got great weapons. It's just like, come on, man, this is really serious. Let's go to Josh in Arkansas. Thanks for holding, Josh. You're on the air with Syrian Girl. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Welcome.
I want to say that, you know, I think Trump has maybe 2 weeks to really bombard and go really hard on this and fill his way out because most people – don't have any idea what's going on. They're still worried about baseball season coming up. You know?
It's like Ukraine and Iran are on Mars or something. They don't know they're only a few, you know, 7,000-8,000 miles away.
Right. We can all see here and talk this and everything, and we look at somebody on the street, and they'll just look at us like they're in the headlights. They're stupid. And even if you watch the news or YouTube, you can't find the live feed. Nobody knows what's going on. He has a chance to back out of this, though. You know, we feel it because we're in it.
So, I mean, as a former Marine, what do you think Trump should do?
I think he does what they did in Iraq is he needs to lie to it. You know, go in, kick their ass. It's not on the news yet. And then back everybody off and give it to all the other Gulf countries and say, here you go. We'll give it to you on a silver platter and now we're out. And then he can come home and still be a hero. You know, now they went ahead and they bombed Dubai, Saudi Arabia, all the Gulf countries. They can make their own alliance. Let them run that part of the world over there. And then he can walk out and say, hey, we did it.
First you said we should not too late to pull out, and I agree with that. But let me tell you, none of those Arab countries want to go into Persia and try to run that place. That's like literally the Iraqis tried that. A couple million people died. I mean, it's definitely not good. Thank you, Josh. What it is a disaster. Nathan in Tennessee, you're on the air with Searing Girl. Go ahead. You're a former Army. Go ahead.
Great to speak with you again, Alex. First things first, I think Trump needs to focus on any domestic terrorists or potential domestic terrorists, isolate those. I think the ICE maneuvers since he's been reelected was telltale signs of all of this coming to a head. I think he knew back then that this was part of the plan, because he was already making maneuvers to deport these people that were potential terrorist cells. But I think that needs to be doubled down, tripled down on right now, especially after what's happened. The other thing I would say is, you know, people better get ready. I think we're going to be in for a financial collapse one way or another here pretty soon. And God bless us all. I hope we can get through it. When I was active, this was 20 years ago. Iraq, Afghanistan, Russia, China, those were the big ones. I was military intelligence, and those were the big ones that we did, field training exercises on a regular basis, because of their technological capabilities. So anything on that list, there may have been one or two I left off, but those are the big ones. If we haven't already got to them, it was already part of the pre-planned, you know, attack scenario for what we wanted to do there long term. I'd like to get your analysis on how this plays into Agenda 2030. I believe there's definitely some of this going on. I don't fully trust Trump. I've voted for him every time, but you know, once a billionaire, always a billionaire, and all the world's a stage. He may be playing his part to perfection for all we know. You know, we have to keep that grain of salt.
Or he might just be 79 trying to be out of his mind. Regardless, it's the same thing. Yeah, I could talk for 10 hours about scenarios. You probably are smarter than I am. But here's the thing. We're at the end of an old bubble. It's a new cycle. This is when wars historically happen every time. The globalists know that. And that's why all this is popping off right now, and that's why it's so dangerous. Thanks for the call. Look at this. Macron declares attacks on Iran violate international law. Spanish member of parliament calls on Spain to leave NATO. Now, here's the deal. I like Trump ending the old international order and not following the UN, but there's been international law before that. You don't attack people first when they don't attack you. That's chivalry. That's thousands of years old, okay? Okay? So we know that. And so the fact that, you know, France is even saying you shouldn't have done this. And then Trump's up there saying, oh, yeah, I'm running a war. See, they legally don't want to say war, because that's when it becomes war crime territory. And that's why Rubio went, oh, Israel acted first, because that's who commits the war crime and Israel doesn't care. And then, you know, he's already charged with war crimes. That's why that was all done. Was to cover our ass. Syria girl, your take on that?
You know, they're going to try to sell you this war using a bunch of lies. For example, they'll say that Iran is the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. Iran fought against ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in Syria. They are not the enemy of the United States. They have not been responsible for ISIS terrorist attacks. ISIS,
well, I mean, let's be clear. Right now, Al-Qaeda, it's even seen in Al-Qaeda in Iraq is being sent into Iran by the U.S. government.
Al-Qaeda is happy that Khamenei has been killed. ISIS is celebrating. It's funny to see both those, you know, dancing Iranian OnlyFans girls, you know, the liberal feminist types. They're celebrating, and then ISIS is celebrating. It's like the drag queen ISIS alliance against Iran. And so it's all a bunch of crap. What is happening, as you said, Israel, you have Naftali saying they want to attack Turkey and Saudi Arabia next. It's because they have this project of getting everything from the Nile to the Euphrates. And that might seem insane, but even the creation of Israel itself was considered like a crazy conspiracy theory 100 years ago, right? So that's what their objective is. So, you know, again, like, they want Americans to accept dying for this project, this greater Israel.
What do you make of France? What do you think of France? declaring Trump's actions criminal.
What I thought was super interesting is Macron also said that France is going to start hiding the number of nukes that it has, and then they're going to increase their stockpiles. So what I see is a schism forming between the U.S. and the European allies, because the European allies are going to be absolutely decimated economically. Like they rely a lot on energy from the Middle East. And so they are very unhappy with what's happening right now. And this is his nuclear comment, as well as this recent comment, to me shows that they're sort of cocooning. You know, they're no longer wanting to be part of the war machine. They haven't joined this war.
Sure, and how will it affect China, that gets a large portion of its energy from the Strait of Hormuz? They're in panic mode right now. What will they do?
Well, that's why Iranians have said they will only allow Chinese ships in and out. So it's going to, like, it's going to affect India, and it's going to affect Europe, and it's going to affect the rest of the world, but it's not going to affect China or Russia. Russia's going to make some money off this as well, because they make money off oil. So it hasn't helped the United States, essentially, or Europe. And, you know, I wanted to, you know, say, like, Trump might appear happy, but I don't think he's actually happy. I think he's putting on a brave face to try to, you know, intimidate Iran. But what I wanted to really, it's important, is to explain why I don't think, even if Trump sued for peace right now, that it would necessarily happen, because the trust is broken now. And there's like a blood debt to pay in the minds of the Iranians, because, you know, the Pope has been killed, their version of the Pope. So even if they wanted an off-ramp, the mode that Iran is in right now is called absolute Krieg or total war, which means that they are, like, they're basically, if you look, they're fighting war on 8 different fronts, because they're going after every U.S. base, no matter what country it's in. Even Qatar, which, you know, I think some people on here for the last 12 months have been saying is secretly undermining U.S. politics to support Palestine, now is clearly against Iran on the U.S.-Israel side. I know they used to call Tucker Carlson Qatar Carlson and all of that. Qatar, as we now see, houses one of the biggest U.S. bases in the region. So what Iran, you know, there's so much layers to this. What I wanted to get across is the caller, he said the Arab countries can go after Iran. The Arab countries do not have any military. Okay, Saudi Arabia is probably one of the strongest in the region. They have no interest, but they pale in comparison to the strength of the Iranians. The Iranians are facing the United States. Saudi Arabia is nothing compared to that. The UAE isn't even a real country. It's a glorified gas
station. Well, let's go over the math. I mean, if you had a large portion of the Iranians die in the CIA-backed Iraq war in the 80s, it's like 30% of the Russians died in World War II. People ask why they're so militarized. I mean, folks, imagine if you lost 30% of your population. We didn't lose 1% in World War II or World War I. So, and it's still a big deal. So that's why when you have, like, you know, most of your family wiped out, it's you start expecting it. You're on a war footing. And so for the Iranians, I've studied their psychology, you know, for the serious ones, not the kids running around and stuff, they're ready to die. They've been brought up their whole thing ready for this, and now it's here.
And I think that now, when previously Iran might not have been in the mindset to build the bomb, as we said, the Khamenei, their version of the Pope, issued a fatwa against nuclear weapons, saying it's immoral. Now I think they're in that mindset that they may in fact build the bomb, because they are so, you know, like they're like a cornered cat at the moment. And you know, one thing I wanted to get across to your viewers is, the Iranians are Persians. They don't speak Arabic. So this notion that the Arabs are going to, you know, invade Persia and take it over and rule it is just, it's ridiculous. But I also wanted to get across another notion. The notion of there's two different, or maybe even three different types of Arab. You know, you have the Gulf Arab. They live in very rich oil-producing desert areas. And then you have the Levant Arabs, or Arab-speaking, like Arameans who have been Arabized. So we originally, for example, in Syria, in Palestine, in Lebanon, we originally spoke Aramaic. Then there was the Arab invasion, and they brought Islam, and they brought the Arab language. But if you know, we have the Fertile Crescent, we have snow, we have cities that we've built for, we've been settled, like we're not nomadic. We have built settlements, civilization, 5,000 years, Iraq as well. So there's a big divide between the so-called Arabs of Palestine and Syria.
Yeah, let's just say it. And the Saudi Arabians, the Wahhabis, were funded by the British to take over Syria and the rest of it and dominate, which is the same story over and over again. They attack any civilization with the caveman version of Islam, and that's the same story over and over again, but like creating Hamas. And then give us the third type of Arab.
Well, that would be North Africa, but, you know.
Yeah, the African Arab.
We don't talk about it. Just kidding. They are like, they descend from Berbers. They also were Arabized, essentially, Amazigh and Berbers. They had their own language. You know, yeah, the Moors. And, you know, when you say, like, we say Berber or barbarian, like, where did that word come from? It comes from Berber because, you know, when the Arabs came to North Africa, they couldn't understand what they were babbling about or berbering about, and that's where the word comes from. But
yeah, because you had a very advanced civilization in North Africa until they showed up. You had the Carthaginians and all of it, and Alexandria and all of it.
Yes, which I think that this would help people understand why there's like a divide at the moment between like the side that is Iran and Palestine and the Gulf Arab states, which have all of these U.S. military bases, because a lot of those nations are really like built out of sand. The UAE, for example, total, like I've been there, just total materialism, you know, buy, oil, prostitutes, crypto bros, pimps, Ukrainians, Russian refugees, Palestinian refugees, Syrian refugees, like it's 9 million people and the 75% of the population are foreign. So it is essentially like the ultimate multiculturalism place. So this is like a globalist phenomena, right? The UAE is an example of the globalist, you know, world they want to create. Where everybody, you know, everybody's in there from all over the world. So is Israel, actually. Israel is also, everybody's in there from all over the world. But I digress a lot from the topic at hand. There, I don't see many avenues for an off-ramp because at this point, Iran's not going to trust negotiations.
This is a war 30 years in the making. It's something Netanyahu said, I've won this war for 40 years. Stay there. Let's take a few more calls. And then Ivan Raiklin, on former Green Beret Defense Intelligence Agency, will give his take. But we'll take these calls, and that's it. Wade and others, stay there. We'll be back in hour number 4. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first 4 guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theultrastore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.